Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
As you can see, we've had our eye on you for some time now, Mr. Anderson.
No 9000 computer has ever made a mistake or distorted information.
You and Nexus, huh? I designed your eyes.
My CPU is a neural net processor, a learning computer.
Shall we play a game?
We are also looking at, and this is going to be something that is not going to be an issue that's going to go away, is, you know, how are we preparing students for the world as it's developing? You know, if we were here 10 years ago, 15 years ago, everyone would say, well, you know, people need to code and do this and do that. And many did, and many have done okay. I would say vocational education 10, 15 years ago in a lot of places was frowned upon. They said, you're not going to be able to do as well. You got to go to a traditional four-year college.
Yeah, during a wide-ranging press conference yesterday, Governor DeSantis waded into the subject of artificial intelligence and its impact on life quality, work, the economy, job training, education, all of it.
I think what we're finding now with the rise of artificial intelligence is some of those things, particularly on the lower level with computer coding, some of those are just going to be rendered obsolete because it's going to be done by AI. Some of these white collar jobs where people told you go to college and do that, those could end up being obsolete. A lot of the trade stuff, I think, is going to be more valuable than ever to have those skills.
You know, it's a really weird time in the world, I guess, in America. I don't know. I think about this AI stuff not all the time, but not all the time. You know, it's sort of always around. And, you know, I wonder what the future holds. You know, what does the future hold for what I do? What does the future hold for what my kids are learning how to do? You know, what kind of guidance can you give? It's a little bit scary to think about, you know, without even going into, like, you know, Judgment Day or the Whopper putting us in a nuclear war or any of those kinds of things, or the Matrix or the enslavement of the human race. You know, put aside the sort of science fiction dystopian future movie type scenarios, just job displacement. You know, right now, for the most part, AI is something that helps people do what they used to have trouble doing, or helps them to do it a little faster, or, you know, it's a research tool or something like that. But of course, AI is also replacing humans who would, let's say, chat with you online if you have questions. You know, customer service is going AI. I don't know if you've noticed, but the you know, when you call up a lot of companies these days, you know, would you like to speak with the AI? Or they automatically do it. They don't even ask. And the city of Milton has an AI for its interactions online. I mean, you know, it's becoming common. Well, of course, if it can replace one set of human interactions, you know, and the reason it's growing in popularity is because it is quite good at imitating and replacing human interactions. I mean, people are having romances with the AI because it's, you know, it's that sophisticated. And look, you know, a little bit of suspension of disbelief is what always made strip clubs work. You know, I'm sure she's really into me, you know, right? And it's working for online for weird relationships. And, you know, we're generating videos, we're generating pictures, we're deep faking people's behaviors. And I mean, that's just kind of the where we are. But what does that mean for the future is, I mean, nobody's really sure, but it certainly seems like an awful lot of occupations are going to be assisted by, maybe supplanted by, enhanced by, or maybe replaced by AI. And the worry is, well, the things you used to think anybody, you know, were kind of uniquely human, well, you know, they look less and less uniquely human all the time. And what's the role for us left in a world where all the stuff we used to think only we could do is being done by either a physical robot — those are coming quite a long way — or an electronic thinking machine, an AI, right?
We're entering a period of, I think, major flux of how the economy works. And look, I've been, you know, very clear. My role as governor is to protect the well-being of the people of the state. It's not to allow computers to supplant the well-being of the people of the state. Artificial intelligence, some people are developing, it has a role, but it can't substitute for our responsibility to think for ourselves as human beings. And it's never gonna be able to get to the point where it can reason as well as a human being. I know people try to say it will. I don't think, first of all, I see a lot of errors with artificial intelligence on some of this stuff.
Well, I would love to share his optimism. But, you know, there was a time when you thought that playing cards, a computer would never be able to beat a person playing cards. Uh-oh. You know, boy. You know, the time when you thought that chess, right? Chess would, I mean, routinely beats the best chess players, let alone, you know, the ordinary chess player. Well, if everything in life is some version of a logic game, and always the question is going to be, what are your parameters, your inputs? You know, what are your evaluative tools to make sure that the ongoing enactment of any decision is taking advantage of the latest information? Okay, but if you fix that stuff, which is, of course, what AI is working on doing, I mean, it's a wonderful thing to simply say that the AI will never be able to reason better than we can. I mean, I depend on reasoning. I depend on comedy. I depend on sarcasm and information. It's lovely and delightful to believe that could never be done by a computer. You don't know that. I don't know that. That's uniquely human. We don't know. We don't know where it's all going to go. So my question to you, 437-1620, we'll come back to this in a second, but my question is, are you, you know, where are you at? Are you worried about the future? Are you excited about the future? Do you think this is a better world for us? Does it need government intervention to protect us from this? Or, as I find my own thought going to, look, if all of the tools of production and the economy shift pretty rapidly into the hands of whoever owns the best AI and the best technology, how do you make sure that people, you know, have food and can afford, you know, clothes and houses? 437-1620, feel free to win. I'd love to hear from you. And even when we're thinking about as a parent, what you tell your kids with regards to all of this stuff. You know, my kids are, they use AI and I hate it because I think you need to learn how to think and you need to know facts and you need to know how to spell, but you know, you used to think you had to know how to spell, and how few people actually know how to spell anymore. And we just, you know, spell checker does it all for me. Why bother, right? PJ's got traffic for us.
Thanks, Andrew. I-10 and 110 are both looking good. We have a listener report of Brancas being closed between F and Main Street, so we will keep an eye on that for you. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
All right. Thanks so much, PJ. Back to the governor yesterday, just because, you know, I wanted to let him finish up his thoughts on the subject. And I thought it was, you know, quite good that he took some time to talk about this.
It is going to be something that's going to be a more and more significant part of our economy going forward. So how are we going to respond? I think we got to be very nimble in how we respond, both at the primary and secondary, but also post-secondary. Because I think some of the folks have been put into certain pipelines over the years, and I think some of those pipelines, you know, may end up being shut off by artificial intelligence or some of this stuff.
Yeah, we have people that are in, let's make it more practical, career academies in Escambia and Santa Rosa County. You know, professional development, the extra period in high school where, you know, instead of taking some normal liberal arts type class, you're taking something that's supposed to prepare you towards some career. Okay, very common in our school systems. Well, how many of the career academies are training people to do things that are going to be replaced by or at least heavily influenced by AI in the future? I saw a story on NBC this morning about in Miami, they're using AI in the classroom, and I thought, oh God, no, stop. Teach them to think. Let them read literature. They need to know how to spell. And they don't. But, you know, that's the problem of where we're at.
It's a fundamental issue for our time. We want to address it in ways that really protect the people of the state's ability to work hard and make the most of their own lives. I don't want to see this overtake reason, and I certainly don't want to see it impinging on people's freedom.
But look, you know, somebody texted in 437-1620, AI is never going to fix a broken water line, put up a gutter, cut palm leaves, wash your dog, change a diaper. how do you know? How do you know? Would you have said 50 years ago that a machine can obviously never build a car? Have you seen a car manufacturing facility? Yeah, machine can never, pick up garbage, obviously. Have you seen what the truck does? And if we have self-driving garbage trucks, I think it mostly is an unwillingness to be imaginative, because an AI could never change a diaper. Why not? We've got AI is now doing medical diagnosis. And guess what? In a lot of cases, better than the humans. Maybe a robot with the right kind of AI can be your companion at your bedside. This is literally one of the applications, because you can't pay enough nurses to be good companions. Well, what if a robot strokes your arm and tells you it's going to be okay in a soothing voice? And if it makes patients feel better? Everything you think of as uniquely human is at least potentially, with a little imagination, could become done by the machines. And it's interesting to look back in history how this has worked, because every time technology comes along, technology basically operates in two different kinds. It's either technology that makes it possible to do a thing that couldn't be done before, like, say, air travel, or the car that allows you to go at 70 miles an hour when no human could ever travel that fast previously. Or it's technology that displaces the human labor necessary to do a thing that has been able to be done, but now can be done by the technology. The automobile displaced a lot of horses, unemployed a lot of horses. And was it bad for the horses? Well, I don't know. We never paid them very well anyway, right? We have cars instead of horses. We literally call it horsepower. Well, that's true whether you're talking about vinyl records being displaced by discs being displaced by Spotify. The people who made vinyl records didn't necessarily go become the people who made CDs. And the people who made CDs didn't necessarily go work for Spotify. It's true across the realm of technology. The dishwasher, long time ago, you had to have humans wash your dishes. And then eventually we got a dishwashing machine. And now in restaurants, guess what? There are people not employed because we have dishwashing machines. And that's good, because we have cheaper food that's made cheaper because we don't have to pay a physical dishwasher to do the dishwasher. It's good. But the poor dishwasher used to have a job, now doesn't have a job. And so the challenge historically has always been, how do we get the people who are displaced by technology into another endeavor? Right? How do we make use of them so that they can have a livelihood and we can benefit from their labor, and so that the overall net productivity of the nation keeps going up as technology replaces the need for human labor? And we always did that. And it used to be very slow. Right? We talked to Ryan Jenkins. Ryan Jenkins has a massive $1 million, cotton picking machine. And it used to be we had what? Literally slaves, right? And then for a long time, not slaves, but still very slow. Well, his machine replaced, and other machines like it, replaced tens of thousands of jobs. But we all get cheaper denim jeans because of it. Well, what happens when the rate of technological innovation so accelerates that it's replacing literally everything and you can't see what humans are even going to do anymore? And again, knowing how to farm, knowing how to fix an automobile, knowing how to build a home used to be considered vital skills that if you didn't know how to do those things, you weren't really a person. Well, nobody knows how to do those things anymore except for a few. And 10 years from now, they're all going to pass away, so nobody will know how to do them. What will we do as a race if we are so effective at replacing our own necessity? This is the kind of stuff I think about. Maybe I'm weird and going to the hyperbolic examples, but that's where I'm at. It's not just a what do we do for the next 5 years. It's how are we planning for the future with regard to all of this? 624 here on News Radio 92.3. We'll take a quick break. I got a bunch of texts. I'll get those when we come back. I'm Andrew McKay.
What's everyone worried about right now? Costs going up. And if you're thinking of starting a business, that's even scarier. That's one of the many reasons why becoming a Janny King Gulf Coast franchisee is a great idea. Offices and businesses are always going to need to be cleaned. Janny King has built a proven system that gives you the tools to take control of your future confidently and with the support you need to thrive. Take control of your future today at JannyKingCleans.com.
Janny King, the the king of clean.
Hello, this is Mary with Howard Young Flooring. Shopping for flooring can be a little overwhelming. At Howard Young Flooring, we are here to help you any way we can and answer any questions you may have so that you can make knowledgeable decisions. We understand the importance of each and every customer and would like to thank you for allowing us into your homes. For those we have not met, we hope to see you soon. Visit us today at 4333 Avalon Boulevard in Milton. We look forward to covering your future.
Hi, I'm Terrence A. Gross. As many of you know, I am a local board-certified personal injury lawyer, and I have practiced in this community for almost 40 years. Our law firm handles only people that have been injured due to the negligence of another. Join me this Wednesday at 10:30 on Pep Talk as we discuss all aspects of personal injury law.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
When a storm is brewing, you need reliable information at your fingertips. Tune in to News Radio 92.3 for comprehensive hurricane coverage you can count on. Our team of anchors and reporters are in studio and at the County Emergency Operations Centers, bringing you live updates, safety tips, and emergency resources. From storm tracking to storm information, we've got you covered. Stay informed, stay safe. When the winds pick up, we're right there with you. News Radio 92.3, your trusted source during hurricane season.
Seminole fans, your chance to win tickets to Florida State University home games is coming soon. Right here on News Radio 92.3.
I'm Earl Scheib. I'm
the king of the world!
That make you go. Good morning, 626 on News Radio 92.3. We're talking about AI and the future and Governor DeSantis' comments yesterday. Before we get back to that conversation, we got PJ with Traffic on the Fives. PJ?
10 and 110 are both looking good. We also had a listener report earlier that Brancus is closed between F and Main Street, starting to see a little bit of congestion in downtown. We'll keep an eye on that for you. I'm PJ with your Traffic on the Fives.
Thanks, PJ. A couple of texts that came in. Want to let you hear from the listeners. AI represents a decision support tool. Yeah, but it's becoming even more than that, I think. A lot more than that, frankly. I see it with my kids. PJ, you see it with your kids, how they use AI?
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, let's see. Here's an interesting view. I don't think people have thought of AI as actually beneficial to more seasoned workers. It's still garbage in, garbage out, and you have to fact check the information you'd be given. But it's beneficial to workers who were trained, who are already trained to think critically and putting the younger generation at a great disadvantage. Yeah, I agree. If you already know how to think and research and know things, AI can supplement. Okay. But man, it's not being used that way. It's, you know, it's being used instead of thinking. Somebody says, look at the Jetsons. They had Rosie. The irony. Somebody else says the same people that would rather use AI for convenience will complain that they can't get a job because of it. That's how humans are. I must not be doing it right. I can't even get AI to draw me a simple picture. All I can do is produce pictures of what people have already drawn. The Industrial Revolution didn't eliminate the job market. It changed it. Oh, right. Absolutely. And it's, but we're seeing something that looks not at all like what we've seen before in terms of technological impact on employment. And look, it might turn out 20 years from now that people look back on the fret and the worry that I'm expressing this morning and how quaint. They just didn't realize how it was going to turn out. The way people during the Industrial Revolution thought was going to happen to labor. Like everybody's going to be out of a job and everybody's not going to be able to afford food because nobody's going to have employment. You know, it's not the first time we've had these fears, but it does seem like it could be different. And that's what's got people thinking about it. AI should replace professors to make college degrees more affordable and avoid graduates from going into debt for decades. And it certainly looks like it could, right? If it gets good enough, which it's not yet. Somebody just says, hello, Dave. when AI takes over all labor, humans will have time to expand consciousness. And that would, I say, be the best goal. The best outcome is, hey, you know, maybe AI does everything that we do for a living. And if we can figure out a way to make sure everybody gets their, you know, their necessities and their luxuries, then we have the luxury of free time. It's genuinely labor saving. And then we can all scroll 24 hours a day. Just kidding. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Good morning, Andrew. A shooting threat forced protesters to evacuate the Capitol in Texas yesterday evening. Demonstrators had gathered in Austin to support Democrat lawmaker Nicole Collier, who had stayed overnight at a protest of the Republican-led redistricting efforts there. The Texas Department of Public Safety says they called for the evacuation after a social media post urging violence. The White House reportedly considering Budapest for a location for peace negotiations between Russia, Ukraine, and the U.S. Administration sources tell Politico that the Secret Service is preparing for a trilateral summit in Hungary, which would be led by Trump ally Viktor Orban. And the FDA warning the public not to eat great value raw frozen shrimp sold at some Walmart stores. The warning was issued after Customs and Border Protection alerted the agency about possible cesium-137 contamination, which apparently is radioactive.
It is. They say they haven't really found it in the food. This is a precautionary measure. I'll just tell you, I would eat this shrimp. I'm not worried about the cesium in the shrimp giving me cancer. I think this is an exaggerated fear.
Fox News, I'm Gianna Gelosi. NATO military leaders are meeting today to try to iron out security guarantees for Ukraine if a peace deal is worked out with Russia.
The chiefs of defense of all 32 NATO members are invited to this gathering. Some allies are willing to put troops on the ground to help deter Russia from invading Ukraine in the future. President Trump insists those troops won't be American.
That's Fox's Jonathan Savage. Hurricane Erin churning up dangerous waves and rip currents across the East Coast, causing officials to close beaches for swimmers. Fox's Britta Merwin is at the Jersey Shore.
Tomorrow's really the big day for the Jersey Shore, when we will feel the largest waves pounding our shoreline. Minor coastal flooding is a risk for a town like Point Pleasant Beach. I expect larger issues for the Thursday evening high tide.
And there are also warnings and watches for the Carolinas. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 6:31 at News Radio 92.3. It's 75 right now, partly cloudy, and it looks like an absolutely beautiful morning. We'll have your forecast with Brooke Richardson in just a few minutes. Well, two new hirings for the city of Pensacola. Navy Captain Cliff Collins coming on board as a new Associate City Administrator for Strategic Initiatives. Adrian Walker hired as the Strategic Initiatives Project Officer. Mayor D.C. Reeves says those positions will enhance the city's long-term strategic goals and provide some additional support for the mayor's office. And of course, these two new positions come as City Administrator Tim Kinsella prepares to leave his position as City Administrator to take a business opportunity that he could not refuse. A train hit a garbage truck in Molino Tuesday. That happened on Fairground Road near Highway 95A. The garbage truck was crossing the tracks going north when the train hit the truck. Now, the impact pushed that garbage truck off the tracks. It ended up facing north on the side of the tracks. The driver suffered minor injuries. The train conductor was not hurt. It's the second train vehicle accident this week in Escambia County. Pensacola police looking for help to identify a man that was reportedly seen following young women downtown recently. Police say that man was seen following women close enough to be in their personal space, and he made contact allegedly with one woman, although it didn't result in any type of injury. PPD released a picture of the man Tuesday. We have that posted on both the News Radio website and the News Radio Facebook page. A man who killed a woman in Bay County is dead after being executed yesterday. The Florida Department of Corrections said last night that Cale Bates was declared dead at 6:17 p.m. The 67-year-old died by lethal injection. Bates killed Janet White in 1982. His execution is the 10th of the year in Florida. Florida suing textbook publishers for charging too much. Attorney General James Uthmeyer announcing a lawsuit yesterday. He says his office has filed lawsuits against two companies that publish textbooks used in Florida schools. Uthmeyer says McGraw-Hill and Savas Learning Company have systematically overcharged Florida school districts for instructional materials. State law requires the publishers to provide every school district in the state the best price that they offer anywhere else in the country. Uthmeyer's accusing the companies of charging the state more than the law allows, pocketing the difference, and sticking taxpayers with the bill. Mother in Gulf Breeze has filed a lawsuit claiming her daughter was sexually assaulted by a fellow student at Gulf Breeze High School last year. The incident, she says, has severely affected her daughter's mental health, forcing her to change schools and seek therapy. Santa Rosa County School Board has not commented on the litigation. And a prominent civil rights leader from Pensacola passed away Monday night. Reverend H.K. Matthews died at the age of 97 after battling health issues. Matthews was known for his activism. He marched with Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. and led sit-in protests back in the 60s. Matthews fought for racial equality in Pensacola, which resulted in 35 arrests during protests. He advocated for removing the rebel mascot at Escambia High School and fought for hiring practices that included black workers. Matthews' legacy includes a park named in his honor in Pensacola and a street named after him in Brewton. 635 at News Radio 92.3, PJ has our traffic on the fives.
Traffic's brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Progressive Insurance offers auto, home, and commercial auto insurance, plus a variety of business insurance options. Visit progressive.com today. Taking a look at the front gate of NES Pensacola that is backed up down South Navy Boulevard all the way to about Interbay Avenue. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
We are going to be seeing a lovely day today with mostly sunny skies, 30% chance of rain in the afternoon, high near 92. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 76. For Thursday, 30% chance of rain, high near 91. Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 76. Going into Friday, 40% chance of rain, high near 90 degrees. And by Friday night, temperatures dropping near 75. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
74 right now here at News Radio 92.3. It is 76 in Gulf Breeze, 73 in Milton. Our next news at 7 and breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru in Pensacola. When it comes to safety, Subarus are all-star performers. In fact, the 2025 Subaru Ascent, Crosstrek, Forester, and Outback earned top marks with a 5-star overall vehicle score from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration. And the Subaru Ascent has been an IIHS top safety pick for 8 years running. The Forester has been an IIHS top safety pick for 19 years running. And the Outback has been an IIHS top safety pick for 16 years running. All of which explains why the American Customer Satisfaction Index ranks Subaru number one in safety. Subaru, more of what you value most. Get special low rates on select new vehicles during the Subaru A Lot to Love event going on now through September 2nd at Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola. For details, call 877-554-9791.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Staying healthy after 65 just got easier with Ochsner Novant Health 65 Plus. This means more time with your care team and appointments, more focus on your health needs, plus daily group activities and access to an on-site fitness center. Ochsner Novant Health 65 Plus. Accepting patients at 9 Mile Road with a new location on Mobile Highway now open. Visit ochsner.org/65plus-Pensacola.
When you're hiring, have you ever felt like you're missing out on meeting truly great candidates for your roles? It seems impossible to find them, but they have to be out there somewhere, right? Well, they're not hard to find when you know where to go, and that place is ZipRecruiter. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter helps 10 million people with their job search every day. And because these people are actively looking for jobs just like yours, it's easy to find the right person right away. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. But if you're not using ZipRecruiter, you're missing out. So see what it's like when the impossible is easy. When you go to ZipRecruiter.com/free right now to try ZipRecruiter for free. Once again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter.com/free. Never miss out on great candidates with ZipRecruiter.
Are you ready for a triple dose of wit, insight, and laughter? Tune in to News Radio Pensacola for the Markley, Van Camp, and Robin Show from 11 to 2. Your daily dose of engaging conversation and hilarious banter. Join Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, and Scott Robbins as they tackle the biggest news stories, pop culture moments, and everything in between. They'll keep you entertained, informed, and laughing out loud from start to finish. Don't miss a minute of the fun. Tune in to the Markley, Van Camp, and Robin Show, 11 till 2 on News Radio Pensacola.
We'll be right back.
I told him that we're going to set up a meeting with President Zelensky, and you and he will meet. And then after that meeting, if everything works out, okay, I'll meet and we'll wrap it up.
Yeah, we'll wrap it up. That's President Trump talking on Fox and Friends yesterday. Follow-up to all the conversations about Ukraine with, of course, Vladimir Zelensky and the European leaders. And the hot mic moment where he was caught on mic telling Emmanuel Macron that I think maybe Vladimir Putin wants to do a deal kind of as a favor to me.
Yeah. To set up a trilat, you know. So.
And where do you want to
do? I think he wants to make a deal for me. You understand that? As crazy as it sounds. Just sit down. Sit down, everybody.
Okay. As crazy as it sounds, I think he wants to make a deal for me. We're going to set up a trilat. You know, we're going to set up a trilat. For the people who don't know, that's a three-way. You know, like, just, you know, it's kind of funny to call it a trilat instead of a trilateral meeting, whatever. But, I mean, great if it all works. And, you know, now apparently there's a meeting set up with their leaders. So that's, so far, good news. You know, the killing continues. By the way, the most interesting thing in this interview yesterday with Fox and Friends that President Trump said, this is, I wanted to hear it for myself because I had seen the, you know, you see on social media, there's a picture of Trump on the Fox News Instagram feed, and then it's got a quote. I'm like, but did he really say that? You know, I always want to get in context. So here's a little bit more context around what I thought was one of the most fascinating comments from President Trump yesterday.
Just want to end it. I want to end it. You know, we're not losing American lives. We're not losing American soldiers. We're losing Russian and Ukrainian, mostly soldiers, some people as missiles hit wrong spots or get lobbed into cities like Kiev and towns. But, you know, if I can save 7,000 people a week from being killed, I think that's a pretty... I want to try and get to heaven if possible. I'm hearing I'm not doing well. I am really at the bottom of the totem pole. But if I can get to heaven, this will be one of the reasons. Well, I think I saved a lot of lives with India, Pakistan. They were going at it. The planes were being shot down. That was going to be maybe a nuclear war if I let that go. And I did that through trade.
First of all, what is wrong with you hosts who are trying to interrupt the man when he's saying one of the most interesting things he's ever said? He's talking about his view of salvation. And he's talking, and which we've said many times, that he wants very badly to save lives. He hates death. I think largely that can be explained by having grown up in a, you know, he was born just after World War II, right? You know, he grew up during the Cold War. He hates nuclear weapons. He hates death and destruction. He hates war. He'll do everything he can to avoid it. The way you avoid it is by preparing for it to discourage it, right? That's all, you know, peace through strength. That's entrenched in his mind, right? But this idea of if I can save 7,000 lives a week, maybe I can get to heaven?
7,000 people a week from being killed? I think that's a pretty... I want to try and get to heaven if possible. I'm hearing I'm not doing well. I hear I'm really at the bottom of the totem pole. But if I can get to heaven, this will be one of the reasons. Well, I think I saved a lot of lives with India.
And he did, by the way, the averting the India-Pakistan or, you know, deconflicting that. Great. But as a theology, one of the things I've said about President Trump is I don't know that I'd want to do an interview with President Trump because I don't know what I'd want to, but I do know what I would want to ask him. I don't know if he'd be willing to answer. I don't know if it would work. But the stuff I would be most interested to talk to him about is religion. And not to like gotcha him, you know, with like the 2 Corinthians, you know, like all that. Has he read the Bible? What are his favorite passages? I mean, I don't know the answers to any of those questions, but, you know, what's his view of salvation? What's his view of Jesus Christ? What does he believe? And this is why I thought this was so interesting because, you know, for those of you who are not particularly Christian or not, you know, this is not like your domain, I understand that those words may have seemed perfectly innocuous. I mean, yeah, if you can save 7,000 lives, maybe you can, you know, prove that you're good enough to go to heaven. Of course, the Christians, you know, who understand the gospel are like, the what now? You know, that's a works-based salvation. That's the idea of if I do enough good, then I can earn my way into heaven, either to offset the bad I've done in my life or just to pass some test. Or it's the whole, you know, add up the good, subtract the bad, and if you get a positive number, they'll let you in, which is not the Christian view. You know, the Christian view is that everybody doesn't deserve heaven. Every single person deserves hell. And so that's why Jesus Christ had to be incarnated and die in your place on the cross in order for your sins to be forgiven, because nobody earns it. Nobody earns it. And the only person who could earn it for you and then gave it to you as a free gift that doesn't require you to do really anything. I mean, there's a lot more to be said. I mean, you know, we've had several hundred years of theology on this exact subject, but that's the big difference between, say, Christianity and just about, not quite, because other views of eternity and salvation, there are a wide variety, but, you know, the basic difference is between a grace-based and a works-based salvation. Well, President Trump is, and I take him at his word, I'm not trying to imply anything, I'm just going by what he said. He seems to be operating on the view that, you know, the way Donald John Trump gets to heaven is by doing enough good. And if he can save 7,000 lives from ending every week, then maybe God will approve that enough to get him into heaven. Now, that's fascinating to me because, you know, evangelicals, many follow him and believe in him and love him and adore him, and many non-evangelicals too. But that, you know, does he have a good salvation belief system? Does he have an understanding of Christianity or not? Does he have people around him that are going to talk to him and be like, sir, let's talk a little, you know, about this view you have. I just thought it was a fascinating comment. And I think outside of the Christian view, outside of the view of, you know, salvation by grace, that's a very understandable thing for a person in his position to think. It's almost, it's heartwarming. In a way, if you think about it, again, outside of the Christian worldview, the idea that a president would look at thousands of people dying every single week in a war that's one of the stupidest wars in human history and would look at that and say, I mean, I want to stop it because I want people to live, and maybe if I stop enough death, God will approve of me. That's an incredibly understandable human sentiment. Anyway, I thought it was absolutely fascinating. And I just haven't seen much commentary on that running around. Maybe I'm not looking in the right places, but 646 on News Radio 92.3, and the silly Fox News host tried to interrupt him when he was saying one of the most consequential things he's ever said. PJ's got traffic on the fives.
Thanks, Andrew. The front gate of NES Pensacola is backed up South Navy Boulevard all the way to Interbay Avenue, so that's going to take you a couple extra minutes this morning. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
So I was just talking with somebody the other day, and they were talking about how they're basically selling their regular house, and they're moving into a kind of a condo situation because, you know, they're older and they don't want to mow the lawn anymore and it's getting a lot, and they figure that when they pass away, they want it to be easier for their kids. That's a very common thing. People downsize. Of course, when your kids move out, you might go to a smaller home. When you're growing a family, you might want a bigger home. People buy and sell homes for all kinds of reasons. Whatever your reason is, Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenrinke Realty can help you. They can help you understand what's the market doing, what can you afford, what's aspirational for you, do you have enough of a down payment yet? I mean, real estate is not something most people do very frequently. And as a result, our level of expertise about real estate is pretty low. You know, in order to be an expert on something, you have to do it a lot, right? And so Christina and her folks do this a lot, 165 homes sold last year. So every week, three and a half, four every single week. And they're there to help. That's why you want a good professional real estate agent to help you with the knowledge they have from doing something frequently. 786-3996 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenrinke Realty.
When you were 18, you spent your spring break in Cancun. The party was legendary, and you speak of it often, even though you don't remember half of it. The geeky kid who sat across from you in math class stayed home, practicing calculus. You made fun of her. A lot. That is, until last year, when you owed the IRS a lot of money and called the certified public accountants at Benakis & Associates. And she answered the phone. Who's laughing now? The number crunchers at Benakis & Associates live and breathe accounting and tax preparation. It's practically in their DNA. When you need to know what the heck a Form 656-PPV is, call Benakis & Associates. When you need a QuickBooks Pro advisor, call Benakis & Associates. When you need someone who practices long division for fun, call Benakis & Associates, now in the historic district on 120 South Alkanes and online at flacpas.com. Benakis & Associates, leave the numbers to the experts.
You're not going to want to miss tonight's County Fair. I'm going
to
be
We are your window to your community.
Did you see the last 5 minutes of that football game last night?
Oh, man, I saw the whole thing.
And a lifeline to keep you safe when danger is near.
Everybody who is listening needs to take cover as soon as they can. This is one of the biggest storms.
We are live and local. We are America's broadcasters. Text radio to 52886 and tell Congress you depend on your local radio stations.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Hey, Escambia. Today, ECUA is talking trash.
Specifically, bulk waste.
July 1st, 2023, bulk service changed to call for pickup. Schedule a pickup by calling the ECUA Customer Service Department anytime before 2 p.m. on the day prior to your normal pickup day. Bulk pickup is still included at no additional charge. Schedule a free bulk waste or special pickup for construction debris for an additional fee. Call customer service at 850-476-0480. More information at ecua.fm.
Know what to throw, 850.
News Radio 92.3 gets your live programming every day from 5 a.m. until 7 p.m. on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I'm Earl Scheib. I'll paint any car for just $99.95.
If you look at the structure that's behind me, it's tall, which makes it very, very difficult to climb, almost impossible. It also goes deep into the ground, which would make it very difficult, if not impossible, to dig under. And today, we are also going to be painting it black. That is specifically at the request of the president, who understands that in the hot temperatures down here, when something is painted black, it gets even warmer. And it will make it even harder for people to climb. So we are going to be painting the entire southern border wall black to make sure that we encourage individuals to not come into our country illegally.
I was falling over yesterday when Kristi Noem was at the border wall and saying, look, what we're doing here is, to prevent rust and also to take advantage of the solar-powered deterrent effect of hot metal. We're going to paint the wall black, Rolling Stone style or Earl Scheib style, and we're going to make sure that it's very, very hot when people try to climb it so that their hands will burn and they won't want to... I don't know what the marginal deterrent value of the black painted metal versus the non-black painted metal might be, but okay.
Now we got an incredible amount of resources allocated to us in the big, beautiful bill. And we're so thankful for that because that's going to allow us to continue construction. The construction right now is at the pace of a little bit less than a half a mile a day. And the border wall will look very different based on the topography and the geography of where it is built. Here you see structure. We will have waterborne infrastructure that will be put in place as well. And then that technology will be installed.
Yeah, so a half a mile a day, that seems like a lot. Of course, then it's many hundreds of miles, but still, half a mile a day. 6:52 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning, Andrew.
Good morning, David.
Okay, then. The White House is reportedly considering Budapest as the location for the new peace negotiations between Russia, Ukraine, and the U.S. Administration sources told Politico Tuesday that the Secret Service is preparing for a trilateral summit in Hungary.
They call it a trilat.
They do call it a trilat. The Trump administration is now on TikTok. Tuesday, the White House posted its first video featuring President Trump promising to deliver a better life for people all across the nation. Of course, this comes as TikTok's future in the U.S. still does remain a bit uncertain. Trump has extended the deadline for ByteDance to divest or sell the app until September 17th.
We've got to totally ban this thing, but meanwhile, let's be on it, which I actually get that. I mean, if it's there, it's there. Use it. Yeah, go on.
Absolutely. Hurricane Aaron may not make landfall on the U.S. mainland, but a lot of people will be feeling it. The first hurricane of the 2025 season forecast to move between the East Coast and Bermuda today and tomorrow. Of course, high surf and rip currents from Massachusetts all the way to the Carolinas. I wonder how that surfing competition is going to go.
Well, they're telling people to stay out, but, you know, surfers are going to go where surfers are going to go, right?
Are going to surf.
That's right. All right, David, thanks so much for the update. You know, it does make me think if the White House has an official TikTok channel, account, I don't use TikTok, obviously. except when there's some news story about some dumb thing happening there and I want to go watch it on my computer, not on my phone. Would never install it on my phone. Anyway, it makes me wonder whether they're going to have Trump-style dance, you know, because Trump dances in a particular way, and there's always these dance things on TikTok. Probably has already happened. I don't know. 437-1620. There was something in that vicinity I was going to tell you about. Now I cannot remember what it was. Okay. It was something about some new challenge on TikTok that people are doing, and it's bad, and you know, whatever it always is. We just don't have time to talk about that right now. Actually, PJ's got traffic on the fives. PJ?
So the front gate of NAS Pensacola, South Navy Boulevard, is now backed up to about Central Avenue. So just add a few extra minutes onto your time getting onto base there. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, PJ. A profile. A TikTok profile? Really? That's what you said? Okay, that seems artificial. Okay. Meanwhile, we are sending warships to Venezuela. Yeah, that came up yesterday. I guess this is the national and foreign policy segment here today, this morning. It's fine. No big deal. We're sending three destroyers to scare/encourage Maduro to, quit.
Ask about the three U.S. warships that are being sent to Venezuela, and there's 4,000 Marines on board. Are you looking at possibility of boots on the ground there?
What I will say with respect to Venezuela, President Trump has been very clear and consistent. He's prepared to use every element of American power to stop drugs from flooding into our country and to bring those responsible to justice. The Maduro regime is not the legitimate government of Venezuela. It is a narco-terror cartel. In Maduro, it is the view of this administration, is not a legitimate president. He is a fugitive head of this cartel who has been indicted in the United States for trafficking drugs into the country.
Yeah, I mean, there's a reason that we're not in support of him. By the way, the USS Gravely, the USS Jason Dunham, and the USS Sampson, the three destroyers, Aegis-guided missile destroyers, expected to arrive there soon. In February, Trump had designated Venezuela, remember, Tren de Agua, one of the gangs, and MS-13 in El Salvador, gangs that have been, and six others based in Mexico, as foreign terrorist organizations. Remember, the theory around that was that if they get this designation, then maybe we move into a position where we can actually start using military power against them. Of course, this is running into the whole problem of, you know, state sovereignty. And, for example, Claudia Sheinbaum in Mexico has been incredibly unwilling to let us pursue anti-narco action inside her country. We'll see. I mean, it's like a lot of other things that the Trump administration does. We'll see. But without advocating for military intervention explicitly, I will say this. If you had to do it somewhere, Venezuela is not a terrible place to do it. I mean, and think about the trafficking in fentanyl. Think about the, you know, human rights violations. I mean, Venezuela is a pretty awful place. So it's, again, we'll see, but it's a pretty big statement to be sending three United States destroyers down there to patrol and discourage and perhaps interdict. I don't know what the military mission is going to be. There's, 4,000 Marines, I think, between the three different destroyers, if I remember correctly. 6:58 on News Radio 92.3. What else do we have going on? Oh, something that the mayor said yesterday was actually quite a smart comment. He was asked in the press conference about the county commission voting, allowing the superintendent election versus appointment, right? This is going to be a ballot initiative for us. It's a question of when, whether it's going to be in the general election or in the primary.
I would think that the school district being a nonpartisan school district, the most fair way to do that would be to do it in the general election when you're going to have increased turnout. All I can speak for is the city, and I know in 2018 that every single voting precinct in the city of Pensacola voted for appointment. That's what I know. Every single one unanimously. At the end of the day, that's their decision of how they want to do it. But I would think in something technical and nonpartisan like a school district decision, that the most fair way to do it would be when the most people are voting, I would think.
Yeah, and I totally agree. But it's a good point about the school board is a nonpartisan thing, and so therefore we ought to have, right? Nonpartisan should be the nature of it. We should have as many people as possible. He also mentioned,
anytime I do a survey, I like the maximum amount of people filling out the survey. I just, that's how I like it. And whether they agree with it or whether they don't agree with it. So, but yeah, I'm not here to tell the county commission or the school district how to, what they think is best. If you're asking my opinion, I think that's the way to do it.
I'm not here to tell them how to do it, but what I think is best. But again, it makes the most sense to have the most people in a nonpartisan. That would mean at the general election rather than at the primary. And I could not agree more with those sentiments.
Local news every hour and breaking news when it matters most. News Radio 92.3.